The New Testament reading is taken from Colossians, chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 1. This can be found on page 1182 in the Church Bibles. Colossians, chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints. The faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord, and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
May the words of my lips and the thoughts in all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It is great to be back at St. Saviour's again on this lovely Sunday morning. I was sorry that we weren't able to be at the lovely garden party, which I understand was attended by about 70 to 80 people here yesterday. But we were at a jolly along the road at Hilden Grange School with about 700 people celebrating or commemorating the retirement of the headmaster after about 32 years. So we all enjoyed ourselves, didn't we? We're looking at that first chapter of the letter of Paul to the Colossians in Colossae. I've seen it spelt with an A-E at the end or with an E at the end. So I've decided I thought Colossae sounded a bit Greek or Latin, so we would use that. Paul. He was in prison when he was writing this. Rosemary, my wife, spent several years at the Thomas de la Rue School, which was a school for bright boys and girls who had cerebral palsy. You remember it was at the top of Staff Crow Hill, where there are some rather posh houses now. And the boys and girls had terrific brains, but they hadn't much use in hands and limbs. And they used to have, many of them, an amanuensis who would take notes for them and do all the writing for them because they weren't able to write. Some of them had a kind of beak which fitted onto a ribbon round their head and they could tap onto a typewriter, but that was very slow. And they were called amanuenses, people writing on behalf of others who couldn't. And probably when Paul was in prison, he would have had somebody sitting with him who was taking notes, all this book of Colossians, not a huge book, somebody would have been writing the notes and all the verses, and that would have then been sent as a letter to the church in Colossae. So Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. So there he was in Rome, writing this letter to a community which was probably considerably smaller than the number of people in our church this morning. It was held, the church services, and the gospel would have been heard and held in the house of a chap called Philemon. Remember, we've heard about him because a book of the Bible is his too. And so these people were very special to Paul. He'd never actually been to Colossae, because in one of the chapters in the Acts of the Apostles, we're told that the Spirit prevented him from going into what was then a province of the Roman Empire, Asia. It's not very far from, or it wasn't very far from, Ephesus. And Paul would have been in Ephesus when a friend of his, a Christian friend of his, Epaphras, had gone to Colossae to bring the gospel to the people in that town. So it was a roundabout way that they heard the amanuensis, the writing, Paul himself in prison. But what an amazing man he was, a servant of God. And he says these words, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father, charis and irene." I understand that that's where the word Irene comes from. Have we got any Irenes here? Grace and peace. And it also can mean other things. Charis can also mean charisma, charm, grace, and then peace. Peace being the peace that men and women have with each other. Don't we long for peace in our parliament? That when we watch the television, we can see men and women, some, but a bigger minority than it should be, who are talking about others as if they were nobody. And I think this is one of the things that we really need to pray about in our country at the moment, for those who pray in all our Trinitarian churches to pray for our parliament over this next year. What an important year that will be. And Paul is really, because he's heard of the church, he knows that the Colossians are doing well, even small in number, they're there. They've got the gospel of redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Isn't that marvellous? And what is he doing? He's giving thanksgiving. "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, for all the Christian people they're meeting and being with and living with. The faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and that you've already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge." Don't we need to pray for each other, for the people in our fellowship who are struggling, for our next door neighbour who might be struggling, for our children who might be struggling? We thank God for them, that we pray for them. There's no suggestion that the Colossians were struggling. It was going to be a considerably larger church in numbers than it was in these early days when Paul was still alive. And he goes on, "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light." Isn't that good? For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I think those are terrific words. So, in what Michael Perry might have called a little cameo, here's this little cameo as part of that first chapter of Paul's letter to the Colossians. And there's so much in that letter. Perhaps when we meet each other in the high street in Tunbridge as we're walking through, instead of saying, "Hi, Jim," or "Hi," if you say, "Hi, David," you won't go far wrong because there are lots of Davids around. You say, "Hi, David," or "Hi, Sally." Instead, we just say, "Hello, Sally. Charis and Irene, grace and peace." Because I think with those words, Christian can remember God, and we remember each other. So we thank God for each other in our fellowship, in our family, in our neighborhood, in our town, in our country, and in our small globe. Amen.